All right, so you know what I did? I just hung up on the mayor. I had the mayor all ready to go, and I just hung up on him. There he is. I just feel so bad about that. You know, the one thing in town you never want to do is hang up on the mayor. We welcome, as we do each and every Thursday morning, and I can't thank you for being quick on the trigger there. Mayor Bob Whalen, how are you this morning, Mr. Mayor?
Good morning, Ed. Yeah, you went off to welcome folks, and we got disconnected, but back together. Here we go.
Yeah, I was hoping it was nothing I'd said. I'm like, oh, I lost the mayor. I hope it was nothing I said. Very good morning. Thank you for being here today. It's an absolutely gorgeous day in Laguna Beach. We have a lot of stuff to cover, so I'll roll through. I know you're busy this morning. I'll roll through it quickly if I can. We received the state budget report from the governor's office a couple of days back, and he announced his proposed $297 billion state budget. And although the state right now is forecasting the shortfall of $22.5 billion for this next fiscal year, the proposed budget doesn't include deep cuts to the ongoing programs, and it's a win for cities because it doesn't include any mention of redirecting city funds to help address state budget shortfalls, which I guess is great for us. The League of California Cities has urged the governor to protect city revenues in a letter late last year that we were part of that letter. So as we look at the budget this year, the governor's budget proposal maintains funding commitments from prior budgets for homelessness. Were we receiving state funding for any programs that we're doing or anything that we're doing with homelessness?
Well, we did get, you know, last year, and we'll roll it out this year, $1.5 million for BWOC, which is a mobile mental health program already implemented in Huntington Beach. We're looking to bring it to Laguna, which will be great because it'll address not only the homeless population, but anyone in town who has a mental health issue that they think needs to be addressed. But yeah, that's one, you know, set amount of funding. But we will continue to look for additional homelessness related funds from the state. And the council decided last year we wanted to get much more aggressive in terms of seeking, you know, state and federal funding wherever we can find it, and we'll continue to do that this year.
Okay, and also in the governor's proposed budget, libraries came up. What they're going to do is delay investments of about $100 million in this next fiscal year of supporting local libraries and the infrastructure projects that some of those libraries will incur. Is that something that we had looked at maybe applying for, or that we intend to apply for? Is funding from the state to help us with our libraries?
You know, we haven't yet looked at that. We have $4 million set aside. You know, the county has reserved $4 million in connection with our purchase of the library for future capital improvements. But, I think it's something we will, again, want to look at as we begin to, you know, imagine and take a look at what should our future library look like and what should it be. So, definitely something we'll, although it doesn't sound like this is the year to look for the money, but,
right.
We need to keep that on our radar.
Okay. And lastly about the state budget is coastal resilience. Part of the state budget actually does slash. It reduces 40% of funding to coastal resilience and contingent on ongoing budget conditions. Significant adjustments to this include to the coastal commission programs of $175 million this year. How does that affect us?
Well, I don't know if it has any immediate effect to us. We're looking for, you know, coastal resilience funds that might, for example, help with the, you know, down at Aliso, where they're talking about trying to do some, you know, enhancements in the estuary there. It could affect us there, but I don't think in the immediate term it's going to have any big impact. Although, you know, we've talked about this before. I've been an advocate for enhancing the Coastal Commission funding, because, you know, if it takes a year and a half for us to get things that we're required to submit to Coastal turned, you know, through their process and approved and turned back to us. And I think that's just too long to wait for so many of the things that we, important things we have to put through Coastal. So I guess this isn't the year, but I wish they would, you know, increase funding for the Coastal Commission to make them more efficient for us and other local jurisdictions that have to, you know, process things through them.
Well, thank you. And thank you for always fighting for the coast in your long career. Thank you for always fighting for the coast. Let's talk about this past Tuesday night and our meeting. Parking was big. This past Tuesday night, some good ideas. I heard some good stuff. Tell us what you gained from that.
Well, it was a great opportunity to bring in with the subcommittee, myself, Mayor Pro Tem Kemp, and staff. You know, we'd been working on studying this issue for about 10 months, and we brought back an interim draft of the study, the parking study, with really three sets of recommendations or, you know, areas to look at. One, you know, additional parking, public parking spaces. Two, we call it traffic demand management techniques that we might use to improve mobility. And three, you know, parking regulations. Can we make some changes in the municipal code that will enhance the ultimate parking? So it was a great opportunity to get some feedback from the public, additional feedback, and from our fellow council members. So in the end, council, you know, we had a lot of testimony, and in the end, council directed us to go off and come back, you know, finalize the report with the consultant and come back at a future date. So it's going to take a couple months, I think, to do that. You know, we'll continue to work on it. There's probably some short-term stuff, not in terms of building new, you know, infrastructure, but some short-term strategies we think we can employ that, you know, might even start easing things a little bit, you know, in the summer, this coming summer. So we'll tackle that, and it'll come back for further community review and input and council, you know, approval in probably a couple, 3 months, I think.
All right. And at the risk of asking you to show your cards, and I know if you don't want to, you won't, but were there any of the public comments that really caught your ear and you went, wow, that's a really good idea, and it just kind of stayed with you, or you don't want to show those cards yet?
Well, you know, I think, you know, there were comments that, there were a lot of good comments, but, you know, a lot of them focused on sort of maximizing the current parking that we have. You know, some of it controlled obviously by private right. groups or owners. You know, increasing efficiencies with them might, you know, without actually doing any physical addition of parking at this time, might help. So I mean, that's a strategy I think we're definitely going to look at. Okay. and see where that can take us.
Okay. Well, thank you for that. Also, early in the meeting, Councilmember Weiss was reiterating his concerns that the city's decision making bodies haven't been trained in CEQA, and he specifically was referring to DRB. Lewis Weil, a member of DRB, called in to advise that they have received in depth CEQA training over the past 4 years. Have they? And how? Or do we make sure that those departments do, that the those boards do?
Yeah, the boards have all had CEQA training over the years, but you know, it does people on the committees change and people on the council change, and CEQA, you know, laws continue to evolve. So mm-hmm. It's something we need to do, and I think we'll be scheduling again, you know, additional training sometime this year. It's not a static situation, right? And you got to stay on top of it. But right. Yeah, there's definitely been CEQA training in the past. I've had it, you know, other council members have had it. So, but you know, good to keep doing it. The work is never done on that. So we'll have new committee members, and there'll be additional training. It's an important thing to understand for our, you know, both our council members and our committee members, Planning Commission, DRB.
It is. And thank you for clearing that up. I really appreciate it. You moved for a seismic assessment of our critical city facilities. A couple of different tiers. There's tier 3 assessment and tier 1 assessment. If you could explain those to us and maybe answer what the procedure would be if a facility is assessed to be less than safe?
Yeah, this is a really important study that's been going on for about a year now, and we got the first phase of it back, called a Tier 1. You know, as the staff said the other night, that's sort of looking at the condition of the buildings, seismic condition of the buildings. It's sort of a 10,000-foot level. And then you've got to come back and do additional analysis, which is called Tier 3, to really drill down and understand what improvements need to be made to bring older buildings up to current seismic standards. And we looked at the four fire stations and City Hall. So we directed staff to come back at mid-year budget with, you know, cost estimates for doing the Tier 3 studies and also Tier 1 studies on additional city facilities that we haven't done them on, you know, some of the lift stations, maybe the corporate yard. So we're going to continue to work on this. I mean, the rough order of magnitude to bring the fire stations and City Hall up to current seismic standards was somewhere in the $10 to $12 million range. I think that's a real, you know, rough estimate. The Tier 3 will give us, you know, more precise costs on that. And then we're going to have to, you know, look, we're going to have to do it. We're replacing Fire Station 4 down in South Laguna, so that'll be brand new. That's not an issue.
Right.
St. Catherine's that we just bought is, you know, was built in 2010, meets seismic standards, doesn't need any additional work. But the other three fire stations in City Hall, you know, we're going to have to build it in the into the capital improvement budget and make these improvements.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that. One of the other items on Tuesday night's agenda was to ratify the understanding now between the City of Laguna and the Laguna Beach Police Employees Association. Long negotiations taking place, a lot of back and forth there over a long period of time. We also transferred funding from the general fund, $100,000 from the general fund. Is that to pay for the increases and the benefits in the agreement?
Right. We had budgeted a certain amount of money already in anticipation of the the contract. You never know exactly what the cost of the contract is going to be until you end up with the final negotiation. So we were pretty close, but we had to appropriate an additional $100,000 in this fiscal year to cover the new costs that were new salaries and benefits that take effect January 1. So, the next 6 months, we need another $100,000 to cover that. But I'm really pleased that, you know, we were able to get this done. I think it's a great contract for our police officers and other professional staff. You know, as I've said previously, they just do fantastic work for us every day. I think they earn it and deserve it. And, I believe they approved it overwhelmingly. And I think they're happy. It's going to make us competitive, countywide and beyond in terms of recruiting new officers. We think this puts us at number two in the county in terms of, ranking for compensation for police officers. So I think it's a great step forward for us.
Excellent. And congratulations to all the parties for getting a signature at the bottom of that page. I really appreciate that. I'm sure the citizens of the city appreciate that. We also purchased four marine safety vehicles. Are we expecting to see those out and about before summer?
Yes. Two of those will be for the new South Laguna beaches, and two of them were scheduled replacements. And we think the supply chain is going to cooperate. You know, last year when we were trying to order vehicles, it was the backlog of months and months. I think that's getting a little shorter. But, yeah, we ordered them to bring them online before summer. So hopefully that all works out. You got to buy them, but then they have to, be retrofitted with all the equipment and so on that the lifeguards need. But, hope to have them out there.
Okay. And this is my dumb guy question of the day. This is coming out of left field, and I apologize for it. What happens to the vehicles that we replace?
I'm not exactly sure because some of them are so specialized. I imagine they get sold off at surplus,
okay.
I think.
All right.
Although I heard a very interesting proposal the other day that the question came up on our old fire truck that we're replacing. And one of the guys on the Emergency Disaster Preparedness Committee, former Fire Chief Bill Nickum out of Los Angeles, he said in L.A. they've occasionally been able to send those to, you know, communities in Mexico who might need them. Right. And he was suggesting we take a look at that, that maybe our sister city down there might be interested. So we'll take a look at that.
Thank you. Not such a dumb guy question. All right. That's actually great repurposing. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Answer.
Yeah. Well, if it could work out, I don't know. So we'll, might be interesting to look at.
All right. I know you were listening earlier, and I know you're a Jeff Beck fan. I know you're a music aficionado. Everyone here in the city knows your great taste in rock and roll music. We lost Jeff Beck yesterday, and we've been honoring him this morning. You got a favorite Jeff Beck tune or one of 10 that you love?
Well, yeah, the cover he did for, you know, the Beatles cover that he did for She's a Woman is a great one. And so, you know, sad to lose him you know, so suddenly, I guess, bacterial meningitis. But anyway, that's a good one. And thanks for honoring the rock and roll history so well, as you always do, Ed.
Well,
for us old guys.
I appreciate that. And it's, you know what, it's multi-generational. This morning I've received texts and calls from people 19, 20 years old and people yours and my age. So he's multi-generational. We certainly appreciate your great taste in rock and roll. And we more than anything appreciate your spending time with us each and every Thursday to give us the rundown on stuff here. Mayor Bob Whalen, thank you so much for being part of the program today.
Thanks, Ed. Have a great day.
Thank you. I'm going to send you off with She's a Woman and Jeff Beck. All right. Thank you. 8:19 the time. It's the Mornings with Ed Show.